It's your favorite day of the week, folks. It's shoujo time, where I, Sarah, show my friend Joe shoujo. Our current series is The Rose of Versailles. We're trucking along in that, super dramatic, and all the sparkly effects that shoujo is now known for. And a lot of it starts. We're getting like serious now.
And like an extremely funny thing happens that's like not funny in the show, okay, but it is in the context of some other stuff.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, I think. Goodness. Yeah. I have like, okay, make a note about this awful part for a joke.
It's gonna be so
it all makes sense now though. Okay.
It does.
But yeah, we'll typically just what do they call it? Shoot the shit, or when you just talking.
Yep, they say that if we're like old timers.
Okay. Never mind. What's like the cool thing? What are the kids saying for just chatting these days?
For talking? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Do kids talk anymore? They don't just like do little Fortnite dances and
skibbity
nonstop. I assume that's what they do now.
Sure.
Now that all their teachers have been replaced with AI.
It's tough because like I have siblings that are kids these days, but they're both abnormal cases for children. Like the one that you've met, he grew up with like incredibly older siblings. And so I think he kind of talks differently than maybe some kids because he was influenced by older folks during his vital talking years. And then the other siblings are little basket cases. And so they're like an isolated situation there. So I don't think they're okay. Talking.
Is that really what you want to be saying on air?
Okay.
Fuck them kids.
No, I mean, one of them's incredibly similar to me. And my stepmom will ask me like questions. Like she's doing a case study of like, was this normal for you?
You're
at
being
that
studied
age?
On. Yeah. Oh my God. You're like, what's his face in The Big Bang Theory, whose mom also does that.
I've never watched that show. Can you speak to the authenticity of the intellect talk on that?
Yeah, I mean, like they talk about stuff that's real. Like the writers are all pretty good at that stuff, I feel like.
A very long running series.
The people I've met in STEM are not like that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess some of them have been, but for the most part, not really.
Okay. But yeah, so no, we're not with it, with what the kids are saying. But talking, Joe, what have you been up to? Or should I talk since you're eating your ice cream?
I'm not eating ice cream at the moment. I put it away.
Looking something up.
I'm going to pull up an image that my mom sent me. Maybe you can find it.
Okay.
Oh
my gosh. Did your mom send you like an anime meme or something?
No.
No. Okay.
She went to a museum.
Uh huh.
Like an art museum. And she saw a character. She saw a painting. It's not a character, it's a painting. 1 to 10, how much does this look like you?
Oh God. How are you gonna send it? Are you just gonna share it on
It's in chat. It's in the recording chat.
Right. I don't get notified for that. Oh. I mean, I've had bangs in the past.
My mom was like, this is what Sarah would look like if she was a poor French girl. There you go. You should cosplay as this painting.
Let's see.
I'm looking at, the painting I'm looking at for everybody listening is Flower Seller in London by Jules Bastien Lepage. The page. I don't know how to say this.
Does this look like me? I mean, she's pale like I am. She like.
I mean, like he has like a similar has face shape,
more,
I think, is the thing.
Yeah, the face shape. I was going to say her lips are more shapely and she looks.
I think you should. I think you should dress like this.
Her eyes convey feelings more.
You should dress like this all the time.
I will in like 40 years, I think.
Wow.
Oh, look, chokers were popular then too.
Oh, hell yeah. This was painted in 1882, so it's not that long ago, I guess. Anyway, yeah, what have I been doing? What did I do? I feel like I did something. I finished the DLC of Gears 5. It was fine. I don't have much to say about that. I read a book. I finished reading a short story collection called Labyrinths by Borges. Pretty good. So some pretty good stories in that. You ever think about a coin? You ever like get a coin that you think about so much that it like destroys your entire life because you can't stop thinking about it?
No.
You don't ever do that?
No.
Well, you just haven't ran into yours of here yet. So one day.
Okay.
One day you'll come across an object that'll entrance you, possibly forever. Maybe you've already seen it. You just weren't paying attention.
I mean, I'll have times where it's like, oh, I tried on this cute jacket at this vintage store and it was really cute, but I felt like it was too expensive, but then I couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I went back to get it and then it had already been sold. So I have like moments like that where it's like, I think about it after.
Got you.
Yeah. But not all consuming and life ending.
Uh-huh. It hasn't been like the mode through which you experience all thoughts now.
No.
Filtered through this jacket.
Well, that's like what Karda is for Chihaya. Everything's Karda related.
Yeah. Maybe. Except she doesn't watch other people play.
Oh, that's true. Just when it comes to her. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I have much else. Did I do anything else? Maybe I just didn't.
I got notifications on Discord that you had tried some new games or something.
I did?
Yeah, you know, Discord, I don't know if it does it where it's like, oh, new player to this and that.
On Discord?
Yeah. It like shows little updates for people if they've tried a new game or what they've been playing.
That's weird.
So
I did beat a co-op game. I beat what is it? Carry the Glass. I played that with my friend Chris, where you do like a little platformer where you're carrying glass and anytime you like hit something weird, it shatters.
That sounds so stressful.
It was very stressful, which is kind of the point. So we did that. That was pretty good. I started playing Animal Well, which is like a platformer Metroidvania game that is cool and has nice aesthetics to it. I have no idea how far I am into it, but I'm making progress still, so that's good. I don't know if there's anything else. I feel like I'm very adrift this week.
Okay. Like, maybe you're just relaxing more, or?
Well, that's not it.
No, okay.
I'm definitely not relaxing
more. That's right, you don't relax.
I don't relax. That's not what I do. Yeah, I don't know. I got to read a graphic novel this weekend that I haven't finished.
Okay. What graphic novel?
I have to read The Incal.
Never heard of it.
It's I think it's French.
Okay, so just your whole everything is French related seemingly. Your recap. Okay,
yeah, that's what I'm doing. How about you? What you got going on?
There you go. Get it. Ask me. Yay.
You can always segue to yourself.
Well, I feel like I'm always doing that. It's like Sarah's just like trying to talk about me, pretend it's like a back and forth.
You're the host. You're hosting.
Oh, right. I am the boss, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay. I have been up to a couple things. Survivor season 48 premiered on Wednesday. And so I went to my coworker's watch party for it. And so it was just like a whole couch of us girls, and they were all getting like emotional because there's a bunch of like heartfelt, endearing moments in it. And I was like, I can't look at any of them, or I'll start getting all mushy too.
The premiere? Episode one?
Yeah, well, it's a 2-hour premiere. But yeah, because I don't know, there's just like really nice moments amongst cast members. This is when we're still nice to each other. Maybe we'll get cutthroat by next episode. Love Island All-Stars is done. The Traitors is almost done. So I'm just going to have... Oh, and okay, so I'll have Survivor and Challenge All-Stars, but not as much shows to watch now that Love Island isn't on every day. Tragic, even though it was a terrible season, but still, it was something.
What made it bad?
It's All-Stars, which is never good. Because these are the people who like weren't likable enough that they don't have to resort to returning to Love Island. It's just all the like wash ups who this is all they've got to get back in the spotlight.
Okay, so you were feeling like...
Well, I feel like my sister told me that they had lots of folks lined up to come in as bombshells, but a lot of them kept dropping because they saw that the show wasn't performing well. So they just, I don't know, were like, psych, I'm not coming on the show. So there's barely any new cast members introduced and no one likable, really. But oh, well, it's fine. Maybe there won't be another Love Island All-Stars. They got to bring back Love Island Games instead. All this spin-offs. Means nothing to me. Yeah.
Hey, can you explain to me what's going on with Wheel of Fortune, Deal or No Deal Island? Why is it an island?
I don't know. I watched Deal or No Deal like when it first came on, but not since. I didn't even realize it was still a thing. But I don't know. It seems to be celebrity guests, maybe, or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
But it's on an island.
I'm assuming it's so that all the hot chicks that hold suitcases can wear even less clothes by wearing bikinis instead. Are you looking up what's up with Deal or No Deal Island?
Say, yeah, I am not. I was not. I'm sorry, but I was not satisfied with that answer.
I'm sorry. Well, I have no idea.
Why is it an island? I don't get it.
Freshen up the franchise.
There's a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Featuring contestant competing in physical challenges in an island setting to retrieve briefcases containing cash values. They're just trying to do Survivor, but like, oh, okay. You just get things, I guess. The winner of the challenge gets to select a contestant to play the Banker's Challenge, where they must aim to make a good offer of the chosen briefcase to avoid elimination.
Okay, so they're trying to make it a Survivor game show. Like,
but they're like, what if Survivor had more like game showy stuff in it?
Yeah. Okay.
You think that's a good idea?
I feel like it doesn't suit the franchise, and there's already enough shows doing that. I don't know.
Like, is there something like just incredibly entrancing about an island?
I don't know.
Like, does Survivor the audience just crave an island?
No, I don't. Survivor, when it first started, was in different areas, and now every single season is like on the same island in Fiji, which is so boring. I hate that. Because it used to, I don't like it. And it's been like that for a long time.
I mean, I feel like the actual answer is that they get some kind of like deal contract for filming it at an island or something, like the same five islands that do all this stuff. But like, it's just so funny to be like, ooh, this season, it's on an island, so you know shit gets real. We had to take a helicopter here. You know it's expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like less inhabited or the less things to have to work around for filming.
I guess.
Okay, anyways, I haven't seen that. Back to things I've seen. I've been working out this last like week. Not crazy, but I've just been like using the little bike and treadmill and stuff. But I've been watching anime a lot while I've been doing that. I watched Yamada-kun. What is it? My love story with Yamada-kun at level 999.
Wow. You make fun of me for watching stuff.
Okay, I know. It's fine. I feel like I remember liking the manga more, but it is refreshing. That it's like, from what I remember of the manga, they eventually get to the point of like being intimate and stuff, and that's something you never saw in shoujo being touched on at all. And so I like that it gets to that. Same with Horimiya, even though that's apparently not shoujo, even though it totally feels like it.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's just, you know, like, it's not real.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, you know, the genre conventions are just about like who you're marketing to. It's not the real like who you made this for necessarily.
Yeah, that's true. And then Monster Hunter Wilds came out yesterday. And so far so good. I probably have about 5 hours in. The character creator's better. You don't have thunder thighs like you did in Monster Hunter Worlds. Got a cool little bird reptilian thing as a mount.
That's good. I've heard mixed things about it.
I think the major concern, I haven't looked into it, like I haven't read reviews or anything, but a lot of folks seem to dislike that it's easier than Monster Hunter Worlds was. Like, it's not as difficult. But, like, I don't know that that's, like, the worst thing ever, because when I first started Monster Hunter Worlds, there would be, like, a 50-minute time limit on hunts. And I remember sometimes hitting that limit, which is, like, too long to spend on one thing and not get it, I feel like.
Yeah, so, that's a long time.
I don't think it's that bad. I think a lot of people, you know, the hipsters being like, oh, it's, they're trying to make it more appealing to a broader audience, which isn't always a bad thing.
Well, I've heard that, like, there's just really long tutorial sections, and, like, it feels like they're just, like, if you've played this before, you're just, like, constantly punished by having to relearn stuff you already know how to do.
No, you can turn, because you're prompted when you first launch the game, like, if you want tutorials and hints and tips and stuff, and I just turn mine off. I don't really feel like I've been bogged down with stuff like that. And they added stuff like you can auto SOS flares, so you don't have to, like, do it as you're being attacked by a monster. It can just be, and there's, like, NPCs that can join if no real players join, which is cool too. Yeah, I don't know, I'm enjoying it so far, but I'm not the most, like, critical. I'm assuming people, this has been, like, their thing for a long time, maybe have more strong feelings about it. But I like, we don't have the characters have names now, because in Monster Hunter Worlds is like their title is all we knew to call them by. So they have names, and there's not an annoying ass chick, the handler there. So that's good. And our character talks, our character is voiced. Not that we're talking a bunch, but we do talk, and now our little cat guy does too. But yeah, I think that's about it. I feel, yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yes. Other than that, just napping and the usual. So. Yeah. And watching The Rose of Versailles, of course.
Watching The Rose of Versailles. That's
Should
right.
we talk about that?
We can get into it, because boy, is there stuff we got to talk about in these episodes.
Yep.
These episodes. Three kind of unrelated but feels like they should be more related things happen.
Oh, that's true. They get like brought up but not addressed, kind of.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna put a pin in this and address it later.
Yes,
and all this other stuff, which is interesting. I keep trying to do voice actors for this show. As you know, it's not really working out, because a lot of these people have never, like, just worked in stuff that I've never seen before. The one I do want to say is that, the voice, like, Rosalie is voiced by Ryoko Yoshida. And one, she plays a handmaiden in The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, another animated like thing. That's fun. Plays someone in Space Pirate Captain Harlock. I just put that on there because people might know that, but she does the voice of Teto and Nasca, which is the little buddy, the little, like, yellow fox thing.
So she just makes weird little noises.
Yeah, she does, like, the little noises.
Does not talk. Love Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
Yeah, she's from there.
Yeah, my favorite.
Be honest, the Valley of the Wind doesn't do that much.
No. I guess it's just because it's where she's from.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mouthful. Of the is said twice in that title. It's a lot.
Yeah, Valley of the Wind of the, yeah, that's not great. Should it have been the Valley of the Winds Nausicaa? Should it have done possessive in the other direction?
I don't know. Nausicaa and giant bugs that have taken over the planet because of human bad behavior.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the episode. The Rose of Versailles, episode 13, is called, oh, Winds of Arras, Answer. I think that's how I'm going to say the name of this place, Arras.
Sure.
Arras. I don't know how to say this. These are all French things. How would a French person say this? Arras. I don't know. That doesn't sound right either. Whatever. We open on Andre and Granny fighting as she blames him for Oscar's punishment from last episode, where she got sentenced to disciplinary confinement for a month or something. Oscar comes in and tells her that it's not Andre's fault. Then she says that she's going to go on a trip to the Jarjays estate in Arras, a city or a town. And Granny's like, weren't you sentenced to confinement? Aren't you, like, not supposed to just leave? And Oscar's like, yeah, whatever, I'll just make some excuse as the OP plays.
The bonking of Andre is just so cartoony. It's just like a literal like little bonk sound. And yeah, again with the I can't tell if it's like maybe Oscar just regards her as like kind of a fussy old lady, and that's why she dismisses her every concern.
Yeah, well, she's the one who's like, Oscar, you need to become a proper lady, and Oscar's like, well, I'm not doing that. So like, if you know somebody who gives you bad advice consistently, you know, how much are you really going to offer them? While writing to Arras, Andre complains that Marie's punishment was too harsh, but Oscar tells him that she was expecting a lot worse, like to get thrown out of the military entirely, and that all things considered, the disciplinary confinement isn't all that bad. So in a way, Marie really did her a favor. Anyway, she's like, we can just treat this like a vacation, and they write off.
Look at Oscar, like, cutting loose.
Yeah, Oscar's like, yeah, whatever. I don't feel bad at all. If we have learned anything, we're going to learn some stuff about Oscar in these next two episodes. One of them is that all on board for revenge plots. We're here for it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that guy deserved it. So no regrets.
They reach a village on the outskirts of Arras to take a break. Andre sees a peasant he knows, Sequin, and his young son, Gilbert. They go in and talk to him, but Sequin does not seem all that happy to see Oscar, and they try to keep the meeting as brief as possible. And Andre comments that Sequin is usually much more friendlier than that, so that's kind of weird. I don't know what's up with him. Andre and Oscar make it to Alas and go to the inn. They greet the innkeep, who they know, and catch up on things that have happened. They're like, oh, I heard you became the captain of the guard or whatever. That's great. In the corner, a man asks for more tea, and Oscar recognizes him as Maximilian Robespierre. He's here. He and Oscar shake hands, and he invites her to sit down. He tells her that he's in Arras to help some nearby farmers in a case where the clergy are trying to seize their land. Oscar is surprised by this, that this would happen, and Robespierre continues, saying that he was hoping things would change with a new king, but they have just continued to get worse. Prices keep going up. And everyone's saying that the queen is controlling the king and is like spending a bunch of money on like some self-indulgent nonsense. He asks Oscar if that's true, but she is so incensed by this revelation that she stands up and like glares at him. He apologizes for upsetting her and leaves.
He is not wrong at all.
Dude, he is so right. It's crazy how much this is just like, yeah, Robespierre, right about everything.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, he says he's going to save France as he exits. Yeah. The sympathies of the show really lie with the revolutionaries, like, completely.
Yeah, well, it's easy to spin that side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess historically that just checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just, the nobles were terrible. Oscar asks the innkeep if what Robespierre said was true about the poverty and everyone blaming the queen, and the innkeep basically confirms everything. He's like, yeah, that's more or less what's happening. Oscar is horrified about how things have gotten so out of hand. Back at Versailles, Marie Antoinette's going through a crisis now that Fersen's gone. She's grown tired of all the balls and courts and all that other stuff she's supposed to be doing. She just wants to wander around aimlessly in her garden, I guess. Countess Knowles drags her to an opera performance at the palace, and Marie is instantly taken by the songstress. She asks who the singer is, and we're told that her name is Madame Polignac. Marie is taken by her. What?
Sorry, I don't know. You just were like leaning towards your mic like you're super.
Like I'm talking. Like I'm really, yeah. I really gotta like get this right. Back in Alas, Oscar and Andre finish eating. Oscar is clearly worried that everyone is losing faith in Marie, but Andre is like, public opinion, you can just fix it later or whatever. We'll do like a little campaign, like a little promotional campaign. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Suddenly, the innkeeper bursts in and says that little Gilbert is sick and there are no doctors in town. But even if there was, like, even if we go to the next town where there is a doctor, it'd be too expensive. So I guess we're screwed. Oscar and Andre and the innkeeper all rush off. We cut to Sequin's house. Oscar tells him that they need to take Gilbert to a doctor because he's like obviously getting worse. Like whatever's happening he's not just going to like heal. Sequin's daughter suggests selling their furniture to pay for the doctor, but the mom's like, our furniture is not worth that much money. And then the daughter says that they can sell their cow, but then Sequin sadly tells them that they can't go to a doctor. They're not going to be able to afford it. He explains that if they sell the cow, they can't sell the milk and cheese, which is their only source of income because all of their, like, crop harvest is taken in taxes. Oscar is incensed that Sequin would choose a cow over his son. She's like, are you really telling me that like you're one cow away from starving to death? And Sequin says, yes, we are literally one cow away from starving to death. And Oscar is horrified.
Yeah. Just believe him.
Yeah.
Do you think they're gonna just, if they would.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just like, what, you think they're just like having this conversation because you're here? Like, they're just trying to guilt you into giving them money? Like, what do you think is happening here, Oscar? Gilbert comes out of his room, the little boy, and says, don't worry about him. We need to keep the cow. Because he's like the smallest little child. He like collapses and Oscar picks him up. And she and Andre ride him to a town over where there's a hospital. Because I guess they just pay for everything. They never address this, but I guess they just do that.
Yeah, I guess that's the assumption.
While riding, Oscar thinks about how she had no idea how bad things have gotten in the countryside and cries. At the hospital,
I like when Oscar cries, like...
Yeah, she's going through it.
Yeah.
She cares about people. Passion. Oscar cares about people.
Yeah.
At the hospital, Oscar and Andre are waiting outside the room. Andre wonders how it's gotten bad enough that people can't even see a doctor. Wouldn't it be crazy if you lived in a society where seeing a doctor is so expensive you couldn't do it? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, somebody get Oscar on the case now.
The doctor comes out and tells him that he's done all they can and Gilbert just needs to rest for now. Oscar and Andre go to see Gilbert and Oscar prays that he'll recover. And she also just adds a second wish, which is that she hopes people will come to understand Marie Antoinette's kindness. Like, let's just go ahead and add that in there, I guess.
I don't think she's kind. She's just gullible.
She's gonna be something in this next couple episodes.
Yes, she'll never be redeemed in my eyes, not from the very first episode have I seen her in a positive light.
Back in Versailles, Marie requests an audience with Madame Polignac. She's like, hey, how come I haven't seen you in court before? Like, according to the records, you were here like 6 months ago and I just didn't go to that performance, so like, why don't you come here more often? And Madame Polignac says that, well, actually, it's like really expensive to come to Versailles. There's kind of like nothing else out here. And I don't have that much money, so I can't do it very often. Marie is so touched that Polignac would admit something so embarrassing, like not being enormously wealthy. The most embarrassing thing. The most embarrassing thing a person can ever admit is that they're not super rich. She decides that Madame Polignac must have a pure heart for being able to do that. And she tells her that Polignac should move her entire family to Versailles and she'll just pick up the bill. Don't worry about it. You could pick up residency here. I'll just do that. Polignac's eyes well up and she kisses Marie's hand. We freeze here and the narrator tells us that in this moment, Polignac has captured Marie's heart. She, as in Polignac, would eventually come to control Versailles over a decade and furthermore would eventually lead Marie Antoinette's descent into becoming a tragic queen.
We are really into the foreshadowing in this show.
This is incredible. This moment where it's just like, oh, I'm sorry, you thought Duke Orléans was going to be the bad guy because he's like a mustache twirling villain? No. You thought Jean was going to be a bad guy because she threw a granny into a fire? No. Those people don't even compare to this random opera singer who seems totally normal. She is about to fuck up everything for everybody. Just incredible. Just to be like, yeah, this totally normal person.
Well, it's seemingly like from a noble family, just a noble family in name only, because they have not had like the wealth that others have. I guess she's just like for fun staying at the palace.
No. Like, I mean, like,
she doesn't seem as profession to be an opera singer. I think
she is. I mean, like, her husband has a job. Like, they are like lower nobility. They're closer to like what like if the Jarges didn't have a position in Versailles, this is probably what they would be, because like they call her madam, right? And like she doesn't have like a nobility title. So like they are, this is like a difference between like a top 10%er and like a 1%er kind of deal, where it's like you're still kind of upper class, but the gulf between you and actually wealthy people is still enormous.
Okay, well, don't be boohooing when everybody else is like in the depth of poverty.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's the next morning and Gilbert recovers. Everyone's happy. The innkeeper tells Oscar that she's a hero and then goes on a long summary of the lessons of today's episodes. He says that out of the 20 million people that live in France, The nobles only make up 4%, but are supported by the other 96% who are starving. Wouldn't it be crazy if you lived in a society where, like, 90%+ of the people supported the, like, ridiculous, opulent lifestyles of the single-digit percent people? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Uh-huh. Can't imagine. Wild.
It was weird kind of watching these episodes with everything that's going on around us.
Yeah.
Oscar and Andre ride home. Oscar is so frustrated at herself for not knowing about the peasants working under conditions, or like the peasants working conditions, that she rides her horse too hard. Eventually, she gets thrown because the horse's life are done. Andre goes to her side and thinks to himself that on the outside, Oscar is as cold as ice, but inside her heart burns like a raging fire, which is why he loves her.
He loves her.
He loves her. He says that. Well, he thinks
mind.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it in his mind. So, yay.
Yeah. Well, it's probably not going to pan out for him. So,
Listen, I have to say, 12 episodes in, 13 episodes in for someone like distinctly saying they're in love with somebody else. Is that a record for all the shoujo we've watched so far? 13 episodes. Oh.
Yeah.
Or was it like episode 2 for Tai Chi?
Well, he didn't say it out loud.
He didn't, but he knows for sure, right? Like, there's like clarity here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. With Tai Chi, it was like apparent that he was entered. But none of them would say but love, probably, because they're the thing high is, schoolers.
I like Andre and Oscar, and I don't like Tai Chi Chihaya, so.
Well, that's because we don't like Chihaya.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a sweet moment. They take a rest, and Oscar dreams about Robespierre, Sequin, and the innkeeper telling her about their plight. She's waken up by a sound, and Andre says it's just the wind. But then the narrator says that perhaps it was the collective people letting out a sigh from the unbearable suffering in which they endure every day. Maybe what Oscar heard was the faint heartbeat of revolution that will take France by storm as we cut to credits.
So, it was such a crazy last sentiment.
I kind of like this framing. Like, I like how the narrator's just constantly being like, and everything's gonna go to shit. Do you like that?
I guess, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's a historical show, so it's not like it's nothing that we aren't already aware is gonna happen. So just
not
kinda
every historical show does that.
Okay. Well, I guess I haven't watched that many. I guess that's true. Most of them probably don't have narrators and stuff like that. Just as a like, just hang tight, folks, and it's gonna get crazy here.
Yeah, well, it's I associate this a lot with Dune, because like I watched the like lot like the, you know, the Dune movies, Part 1 and Part 2 or whatever, and the first part of Dune in the book is talked about like this. Like, it tells you what's gonna happen essentially, and it tells you who's gonna be betrayed and who's gonna die tragically and all that other stuff. Like, it says that like when they introduce the characters, kind of in the same way this is doing. And I thought that was a really cool thing that the book did. And so I tend to like that, but I haven't seen it in a lot of other stuff. And like, the movies take that out entirely because they just kind of present everything sequentially. But that is like a maneuver I do like.
I forgot to mention it, but I laughed when they're on their way to the town and they stop by like a pond, and Oscar just has like a twig in her mouth, like she's just so funny.
She puts like a reed in her mouth, like she's in the country.
Yeah,
Oscar's like, this is the most fun she's had in the show, maybe,
for sure. 100%. Yeah, and then it becomes a bummer immediately.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Any more notes about episode 13?
Nope.
All right. Episode 14 is called The Angel Secret. We open on Oscar and Andre returning to Paris after 10 days of being gone. Oscar reflects on the events of last episodes and how things are going to shit, and everyone blames Marie Antoinette. They pass the spot where Oscar ran into Rosalie several episodes ago, and Oscar wonders whatever happened to her. Well, we probably won't see her again, so let's not worry about it. We pan to the basement apartment where Rosalie and her mom live. Her mom hasn't recovered from her sickness and doesn't seem to be getting any better, but tries to get up so she can like get a job so they won't run out of money and starve to death. But Rosalie insists that she stay in bed. She says that she's happy to take care of her mother, which causes her mom to look away and cry. Rosalie tries to reassure her as the OP plays. Back at Versailles, Marie is delighted to see Madame Polignac. Pawniak, however, tells her that she's actually here to say goodbye, and Marie is horrified to be left alone once again and demands to know why she must leave. Pawniak tells her that even though she moved to Versailles, her family still isn't rich, so they don't have, like, servants or, like, a high-paying job, and everyone kind of wonders why they're there. And they feel extremely out of place, and it's embarrassing. And Marie is like, oh, Madame Pawniak, you should have just told me this earlier. I can rectify this immediately. I'll just make up a position for your husband, and I'll just get you everything you need.
I hate her. Oh, she's so stupid. It's so clear what's happening.
The other nobles at court are scandalized that Amir Singer is now being made one of the richest, most powerful women at court, and it's all because of Marie. They make her a count. She becomes Countess Pawniak the next time we see her. They give her, like, a high-level nobility title. It's wild.
Yes.
Can you just do that?
Bunch of idiots running the entire country.
Like, Dewberry had to kill a guy, and they just let Pawniak do it.
Yeah, I mean...
This is, I think, the most, like... Well, I guess Dewberry never could have teamed up with Marie because Marie is prejudiced against prostitutes.
Yeah.
But, like, she could have played her. I feel like you could have played her.
Yeah, she's... Friggin' easiest.
She's so easy to
stalker by this lady.
She just gets wrecked these next two episodes. Everyone
could do this, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this happens all the time. Like, half of the subplots are this exact thing that's just like, this person's gonna scheme their way up to court, and it turns out it's actually pretty easy.
So annoying.
Oh, it's so funny. Pawniak visits her daughter, Charlotte, who is pumped to have a nice dress, and Pawniak thinks to herself that her family was on the verge of ruins before, and now she's on the up and up. So, like, yeah, things are everything's turning up Pawniak. Surely my luck, like, will continue in all things and not bankrupt me later.
Like, her daughter's cute, and maybe it's like, oh, maybe she's not as bad because it's like she's got a family that she's now taking care of with this, where it was just Madame Dewberry on her own destroying property left and right.
Yeah, we get more of that later. Like, we get a whole another scene with Pawniak, which is, like, much more clarifying it to me about, like, what her deal is. Elsewhere, Marie is delighted that she was able to make her friend happy. The narrator tells us that Marie came to believe that if she were happy, then the people would be happy as well. Oh, and this was her first fatal mistake.
It's just embarrassing. She's so desperate. It's embarrassing.
Every time we get a scene like this, I just imagine what Empress Teresa is thinking. She's probably just like, just got the worst vision that my daughter's an idiot.
She's just probably disowned in her mind.
She's just like, why did I have to send her out of all of them? Why did I send her?
Oh, that's right. We still haven't seen Oscar's sisters. What happened to them?
I don't know.
I want to see them. Unresolved. Yeah. Oh,
I don't know. Maybe we'll get more on them later. Just like how her mom suddenly became a character. Maybe they'll just suddenly become characters. We cut to the Jarjets manor. Oscar greets her father, and he calmly sets down his book and walks over to Oscar and then slaps the hell out of her. She, like, falls to the ground.
Oh, God, how many times has he hit her?
He's like, I can't believe you went on a trip. Well, you were under disciplinary confinement. You're on, like, house arrest. You can't go on a trip. Do you have any idea how much trouble you would have gotten in? And, like, Marie would have also gotten in trouble. What are you doing? Which I kind of feel like is a little fair. I feel like this is a fair criticism. Like, I don't think you should, like, smack your daughter so hard she falls to the floor. But, like, she really shouldn't have just left like that. That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know. Well, I just felt bad for the nanny, who's like, you're putting me a tough spot here, and she didn't care at all.
She's so totally right.
She's just kind of been a wild child her whole life who has not concerned herself with others' expectations of her.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, if Oscar doesn't feel or, like, feels like she did something that was just or, like, justifiable, then she just doesn't give a shit about the consequences. She's like, I don't care that I got this thing for shooting a guy. I don't even like that guy.
But ends justify the means.
Yeah. Oh, I do like that about Oscar.
Yeah.
Anyway, Oscar apologizes, but tells him that she's learned that Marie's approval ratings are in the dumps and that the peasants on their estate are, like, in near depravity. Things are real bad out there. Somebody should do something before it's too late. General Jarjet stares at the window for a long time. And then eventually he tells Oscar that she's an officer of the Royal Guards, so this shouldn't concern her. If she has time to think about this stuff, she should be practicing sword fighting or something. Oscar is incensed and curses the nobility as Andre looks on.
Yeah.
Damn. This is brutal.
I feel like she's already so good at swordsmanship. She doesn't need to improve.
I love this scene because it makes it very clear that, General Jarjeis knows this already.
Yeah.
He knows this is a problem. Like, he knows they're all screwed.
Well, it's gotta be frustrating because, one, Andrea was like, oh, don't worry about it. Now her father's like, it's none of your business. So it's just constant, look away from this, deny your justice.
Yeah.
And just
job. Andre's is like, oh, it'll probably resolve itself. Like, I don't think you should lose sleep over this. Whereas her dad is like, you're not allowed to think about this. Like, I know you care about this. You need to stop caring about this,
whole curse nobility.
Wouldn't it be bad if you thought that your whole country was falling apart at the seams very slowly because the people in charge are completely inept, but you just couldn't do anything about it? Wouldn't that be messed up? Anyway.
Yeah.
Back in Paris, Countess Polignac goes to a shop to buy a dress. In the back, Rosalie is trying to get a job. She gets lucky and they have an opening and she lands the job and she thinks to herself that things are finally starting to go her way. With this job, they can afford food and medicine at the same time. Can you believe it?
Falling out.
Elsewhere, Rosalie's mom, who's not wearing shoes, wanders the street. She turns a corner and is struck by a carriage.
Okay, this is the moment we were talking about earlier, right?
Oh, man, you thought Rosalie was getting ran over by carriages. It turns out it runs in the family.
Yes.
I didn't realize those were all foreshadowing.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Oh my god. Is this a common occurrence back then?
I can see it being
century
the roads are.
People get run over by carriages. Carriage accidents and remedies in the 17 and 1800s. Is this a whole book? What is this?
If there's a whole book, it must be a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot. Causes for carriage accidents. Drivers. Careless drivers. Furious drivers. Ignorance drivers. Intoxication. Wow. Yeah, I guess this happened a lot.
Yeah. Not a mark on her, though. Her mom looks totally fine. Not bleeding or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't look like she is on death's door, but bad news, she's not going to make it.
Yeah.
One of Rosalie's neighbors rushes to her and tells her that her mom was just ran over, and then they rush to the scene. Everyone's just kind of standing around looking at her mom collapse on the ground, doing anything. Her mom looks pretty bad, even though she kind of looks like she could go either way. We see that in the carriage is one Countess Polignac, who looks on distraught. A big crowd is gathered as Rosalie rushes to her mother. She looks up to see Polignac. They make eye contact, which freaks Polignac out, and she tells her driver to get out of there. A man in an overcoat tells her that she just hit somebody. At least she could, apologize or get out or, do something. But Polignac says that it was that woman's fault for running in front of her carriage, and if they have any complaints, they can just go make them at Versailles, and then takes off. In her dying breaths, Rosalie's mom reveals that she isn't Rosalie's biological mother. Her real mother is a noble named Martine Gabrielle. She apologizes again for their hard life and then dies. Rosalie cries over her now dead mother.
Because I was because we saw her hesitate to reveal some truth earlier. And I just thought that was going to be we're not. Or I knew it was some kind of someone was not her daughter, but I thought it was going to be Jane. It wasn't her daughter, so that wasn't royal. But now it's are they both and just from different families?
Yeah, well, maybe that Jean is her daughter and Rosalie isn't. But she said that they're a descendants of that because that's true for Rosalie. But they she was also telling them that they were sisters. So John's just by association, that also goes to me.
Gotcha. Yeah. Although
I will say that given the way things are going, whether or not you're legitimate royalty or nobility does not seem to matter at all.
That's true. So you just got to get in Dummy Marie's good graces.
Yeah, you just need to find some stupid, naive noble and then get into their house And then you can either kill them by poisoning them or lighting them on fire, or you can just flatter them and entrap them. Seems to be the move. Marie and Polignac return. Marie notices that Madame Jarjaise isn't looking so great. She seems like real tired. She's like, you should go lie down, as Polignac thinks about how she accidentally killed some girl's mom earlier and feels bad about that. We jump to Rosalie crying over her mother's grave. She thinks about what Polignac said about seeking her in Versailles. The man from before is here, and he introduces himself as Bernard Chatelet, and he's a journalist. He tells Rosalie to see him if she ever wants to talk, but instead Rosalie decides that she's going to walk all the way to Versailles, which is like going to take her all day, and just starts to do that. Later that night, Marie, Polignac, and Madame Jarjaise are hanging out on the balcony. Suddenly, Madame Jarjaise just collapses. Back at the Jarjaise Manor, Oscar thinks about how what her dad said about, like, why you shouldn't care about the country's imminent collapse, and starts to practice sword fighting instead. Andre bursts in and tells her about her mother, and they ride off to Versailles. While riding, they pass one extremely tired-looking Rosalie. She sees the Jarjaise Manor and mistakes it for the palace. Oscar and Andre reach Versailles. Andre rushes in, but Oscar must wait outside because she's still technically in detention. She sees Marie in a carriage and stops her. Marie tells her that her mom seems like she's going to be okay. She just, like, collapsed momentarily. She also tells Oscar that she should report in tomorrow because it's been a month and her confinement is now over. Oscar thanks her, and Polignac, who's also in that carriage, tells her that they need to leave for the ball. So they go off to a ball, even though their girl just passed out.
Yeah, that's wild. What time do we think it is?
Like how old they are?
No, what are the hours of the day that they are active, and then what days are they sleeping? Do they just, like, stay up really late and sleep in?
It seems like Marie keeps going out to balls and staying out really late.
Yeah.
I think Madame Jarjaise is, like, supposed to stay up to see her back.
Mm.
But she's like a much older lady, so she's probably getting kept up to, like, 3 a.m. or something every night.
Well, it looked like it was daylight when they came back.
Yeah, they did then. I don't know what they were doing then.
A rager all night long. Yeah.
She just leaves. She just goes to a party. She's like, damn, sorry about your mom. Bye.
Yeah.
Later, Oscar and Madame Jarjaise ride back to the Jarjaise Manor. Madame Jarjaise is looking all right, but she's like, I was just fatigued. But she's fine now.
Same.
They pull up to the house, and we see Rosalie hiding in a bush. As Oscar and her mom get out of the carriage, Rosalie sees Madame Jarjaise and remembers how the woman in the carriage that killed her mom had blonde curly hair and was wearing a blue floral dress pattern, just like Madame Jarjaise is doing now. That must be the woman that killed my mom. She pulls a knife and rushes Madame Jarjaise, saying that this is for killing her mother. Oscar gets in front of her and easily disarms her, and they recognize each other. Up close, Rosalie realizes that Madame Jarjaise is not the woman in the carriage. They just had the same outfit, and she collapses to the ground crying.
Where did she get that dagger or that knife?
I don't know. She just pulls out a dagger. It's so funny. It's like a cartoon dagger too. It's got like a hilt and everything. Like that's a thing you stab someone with. It's not like a kitchen knife.
Nope. Yeah. Where did that come from?
Dude,
I must know.
You think she stole it? I think she stole it.
She, there's no way. Well, because then it shows some it's a family heirloom and blah, 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 something.
The
so
family
she
knife.
Just found it. Well, because it had like kind of an artistic looking hilt. So you would think
That's
it was
true.
A more like expensive one.
It did seem like a nice knife.
Yeah.
It's the next day, and Rosalie fills Oscar and Andre in about what happened. Oscar drags Rosalie to the top floor of the manor so she can see the actual Palace of Versailles, which is a huge, sprawling, gated mansion. She's like, listen, you're never going to be able to, like, sneak in there. It's heavily guarded, so that's not going to work. Also, this is just, like, my house. This is not big enough to be a palace. Come on. And then she says that all of the women at court have blonde curly hair and are going to wear floral dress patterns. Like, they all have, like, multiple dress patterns. That's one of them. So, like, that's not going to be enough information to figure out who you're supposed to kill. Rosalie cries and says that she's angry that after all of this, she won't even be able to avenge her mom or, like, do anything at all. Like, the peasants just really can't do anything to get any kind of justice for themselves. Oscar hears this and offers to teach her how to use a sword. She's like, as you are now, there's no way you could kill anybody. Like, your technique is terrible. Like, you wouldn't have been able to stab me. You'd have messed up. What if I taught you how to kill a guy, Rosalie? If she wants revenge, she must study the blade.
It's also kind of confusing because she's like, oh, you must become a lady, but also learn how to use a sword.
Yeah, she's like, in order to see the women that you like, you're going to have to look at them one by one to find out who the real killer is. So in order to be at the palace, you have to be like a lady of the court who's like good enough to be there. You got to like walk the walk, you know?
Should have asked Oscar's mom if they saw anyone wearing an outfit like she described, because that was the same day and she was at the palace. Maybe she could have identified what's her face? Polignac.
Yeah. Oscar puts her hand on Rosalie's shoulder as they're both in cahoots now as we cut to credits. I like so badly want a like episode that's just like a My Fair Lady, but instead of Oscar treating her just to be a lady, it's also so she can become an assassin. That would be so good.
Well, it's right. Everything gets put on the back burner. So maybe we'll just it's just going to be like, and now she's good at this. And there's no training montage, no training arc. I could see it being like maybe Andre does the training when Oscar's busy and then him and Rosalie get closer.
Yeah, maybe. Who do you think's going to teach Rosalie to be a proper lady? The granny?
I guess. Yeah. It's what she never got to do with Oscar.
Yeah. Oscar doesn't know how to do it.
Oscar's not going to teach her. Yeah.
No way.
I like Oscar is just like, yeah, let's get you ready to kill.
Immediately on board. Just 100% being like, you know, I'm in my revenge era. I'm all about it.
Yes. Yeah.
I just got revenge on a guy and then I was put in like home containment and I just left like fuck them, who cares, I'm going on a trip. I was treating it like a vacation. It's so funny. She's just tour. Immediately just like whatever, yeah, I'll help you kill a guy, yeah, hell yeah, I think you should avenge your mom, but you need to do it with a sword. Get this dagger shit out of here.
Yeah, I know, like a sword seems very obvious and like not discreet and
oh my god, imagine,
don't you want to like publicly shame this lady, but I guess they get away with killing people all the time, so
just like under those big dresses they have, she just pulls out an entire ass sword.
Yeah,
that would be incredible.
We'll see.
It would real
I'm
hard.
Wondering, does she, like, as she's fraternizing with the enemy, does she run into who is supposed to be her mom? Or is her mom still kicking? Why is she just that?
I mean, she's she's probably still like around.
Yeah, so you know? I'm guessing we'll have that at some point as well.
I mean, she's gonna run into Jean soon.
Right. Yeah, well, that lady wasn't going to court though. So no, if she just inherited
she's
her title,
she's got to coordinate it, but she's going to show up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, you've just schemed your way into, like, being an aristocrat, and you, like, you finally get to the palace, and you get there, and you're, like, your sister is there, and she's, like, an assassin now?
Yeah, maybe she'll have to kill her own sister, too, if she starts to scheme too hard. There's so many schemers. I don't know how they're going to interact with each other.
You think she could do a team up? She's like, listen, I know we don't get along, but this lady killed her mom.
I don't think she gives a fuck about her mom.
I don't know, you know?
No, she
definitely
does not.
That's like a pride thing. Like, oh, you're just going to kill my mom and get away with it?
I don't know.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the messy drama.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy at some point. Because we're not even halfway. I wonder what, like, how much of this is going to be revolution time, or if that's going to be like the ending arc of the show. Like, because we're still ways off.
I mean, like, so far the pace has been pretty quick.
Yes. It's hard to tell how much time has passed, but right, because it's still like a while until the revolution starts.
Yeah. I feel like the last like 10 episodes will be that, or like, you know, 8 episodes will be like revolution time.
Okay. All right.
The whole middle. Yeah.
Get to the next.
Yep. Episode 15.
More annoying Marie Antoinette time.
Yep. We open on Marie having a nightmare about being scorned for not having a child as the OP plays. We come back to Oscar and Ghirardelle doing some rounds. Oscar says it's good to be back, but then they're almost ran over by Madame Polignac's carriage. So, like, this is the driver. Like, the driver just sucks. She just has a bad driver.
Yeah. What a. What did he say about, like, people on the rise don't know how not to rush or something?
Oh, yeah. Ghirardelle is like, man, like, these new nobility don't know how to just take it slow. They got to rush into everything.
That's our hot
I hate
win.
New money. These new egg assholes don't know how to be proper or elites.
Ghirardelle is so pretty.
Dude, Ghirardelle's funny. He's like, I bet she's going to go off to gamble some more at the casino. And Oscar's like, who? And he tells her about Countess Polniak, because I guess Oscar hasn't heard about her yet. And Oscar is dismayed that Marie was so lonely that she'd get swindled by some rando.
She shouldn't be surprised.
God, shouldn't be surprised by any of this.
No. Nope.
Back at court, Duke Orleans and Duke Guimena loudly gossip about how women in the East get divorced if they don't bear a child in 3 years. And I have to say, Duke Guimena's hand seems totally fine to me.
I was going to say, I'm surprised we didn't get any, like,
you should be, like, it should be, like, wrapped up. You know what I mean? It should be, like, it should be, he should have, like, an iron hand or something. He should have a hook. Oh, my God. They should have given Duke Guimena a hook.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine if he's just, like a pirate man? That would be so good with his mustache.
It would be in theme with goofy villain Duke Orleans for his flunky to have a hook hand.
Yeah. Marie overhears this is embarrassed because it's been 5 years. She's been married for 5 years and hasn't had a child yet. If she can't get pregnant, that's going to be a huge problem. Duke Guimena discusses a potential succession crisis if Marie can't produce an heir. Who's going to be the next king? Maybe it should be my boy Duke Orleans. You know what I'm saying, everybody? And everybody talks about how a succession crisis could be a huge problem and everybody could get involved. It could get bad enough that, like, Austria and Prussia get involved, and that would be terrible. Marie locks herself in her room and won't let anybody in, including Countess Knowles and Count Mercy. But she will let Polniak in, though. Polniak tells Marie that there is one way out of this problem, and that's to fake being pregnant. Marie doesn't want to, but Polniak says that she heard a story about a queen who couldn't get pregnant, and then they poisoned her. So, like, it talks, you know, clock's ticking. So this is kind of like a do or die scenario. Marie eventually agrees to the plan. Polniak thinks to herself that she now controls the queen as lightning cracks across the screen. She comes out and informs everyone that Queen Marie is pregnant. She just heard from her. And by next fall, there will be a new heir. And everyone's like, oh, that's great. In his forge. What?
Why don't they never talk about, like, well, I'm assuming the reason she hasn't got us pregnant is because she doesn't. You know,
dude, this next scene is probably so funny.
They aren't interacting at all, and that's why.
Yes.
So it's his fault as much as it is hers.
Yes. I mean, not being able to get pregnant or not is not really a choice you normally make all that much. So it's kind of like,
not your fault.
You can't
get pregnant if you don't have sex.
It's true. You do need to actually have sex to get pregnant.
Is the case.
Which I don't think so, which makes the next scene extremely funny. In his forge, King Louis is informed that the queen is pregnant, and he seems very shocked. He seems shocked like a man who hasn't actually had sex with his wife yet.
He's going along with it.
Yeah, he's like, well, yeah, great. I guess he just hangs out in his forge still. He doesn't do his job. He's still in there. He's still making locks.
Yeah.
He's like, the guy comes in, he's like, I asked not to be interrupted. He's still doing this. This is his life. What is he doing?
Nothing. Where are these locks going? Are they being used?
Dude, oh my God. Is he like selling them under a pseudonym so like people will buy them?
Only if he needs to give that money back to the people then.
Dude. Oh man.
That's his way of counteracting. That's to pay for all the spending his wife does.
Do you think the locks are even good, or do you think they're just like kind of okay? You know what I mean? Like, he has okay talent for it. I bet his locks aren't even that good.
I have no idea. I would hope so with how much is being sacrificed to do that.
Duke Orleans and Duke Guimena are pissed off. We just see a scene of them being pissed. Oscar congratulates Marie on her pregnancy and gives her a gift, a baby clothes that her mom made. But Marie is so sad that she's lying to everybody, including Oscar, that she runs off. Marie thinks to herself that she can't live with this lie. And we cut to Polniak saying that she must live with this lie because, like, come on. And she's like, don't worry about it. We'll take care of everything. We have a doctor on payroll who will just say whatever we want. I'll even find you a baby when the time comes for you to deliver. We'll just get you a baby. How hard could that be? There's like tons of babies, whatever. Which made me think about how many of these people that are supposed to be like royal are actually royal and not just like some random kid they picked up from somewhere.
Yeah,
you think that happens a lot? That probably happened like a decent amount.
Well, then why didn't they do that for Oscar to ensure they got a son? Just get a baby boy.
That's true.
But that does feel like a huge blunder, and then you're going to be stressed out that people find out that you did that for the rest of your life. And then what happens to your illegitimate child?
You just go along with it. You just go along with it. If I learned anything from Game of Thrones is that if you notice something, maybe you just don't say anything. Maybe you just keep it to yourself. Maybe a lot of people wouldn't die if you just kept it to yourself. I think Ed Stark sucks. Anyway. Marie is extremely distraught. Polnyak recommends a fun activity to take your mind off of things. How about, like, I don't know, gambling? You ever been gambling? But Marie said, but she's like, Madam Polnyak, gambling is illegal. And Polnyak's like, ah, come on. We'll just do it like one time. Like, come on. It's just one time. It's not illegal if it's one time.
Oh, my God.
Marie convinces King Louis to let her gamble a little. She's like, I'm just going to try it one time. How bad could it be? And the king's like, oh, I don't know. I guess so. Whatever. You seem sad. Sure. And he agrees because he's a pushover. The ladies set up a roulette parlor in Versailles. I skipped a section earlier.
Well, I was going to say that the king does kind of, at least he seems vaguely aware of the fact that the people are in trouble. And he's like, because if you and me gamble, we're gambling the people's money.
Yeah.
And that's
he did object to that.
Yeah.
I skipped over a scene that happened really early in the episode. And it's a scene where Madame Polnyak and her friend are at a casino and they talk about how addicted to gambling they are and how it's bankrupting all of them. And this is a scheme that Polnyak came up with early in the episode to swindle money out of Marie. So I forgot to mention that. That happens. They're all hopelessly addicted to gambling. And it's roulette. How do you get addicted to roulette?
I don't know. I've never gambled, so
the least fun one to do. Like, I, you know, it's fun to play like a couple games, but imagine doing that for hours. I mean, come on.
Well, it was boring back then.
That's true. You know what? I feel like here's my theory, right? Which is, we know that Marie likes to play card games a lot because there's just nothing better to do. And I've realized that Marie Antoinette is a gamer. You think if she was alive now, she'd be just be doing like Twitch streams all the time?
I feel like she would just be a social media influencer.
She's playing like a shit ton of Balatro.
Maybe. Would she be like a VTuber to hide her royal identity?
No, I don't think so. I think she'd be like out there. I think it'd be like the Masquerade where she'd just like do something very subtle to be like, I'm in incognito, Oscar. Don't worry about it. And Oscar's like, anybody, they can see your background. They can see you're in the palace. You didn't even turn on IP masking. Everybody can see where you're broadcasting from.
Oh, man.
God, that would be so good. There's like emotes when Count Mercy shows up in the background. Ugh. Has anybody done this? Somebody has to have like a Twitch channel where the gimmick is they like role play as Marie Antoinette, right? That has to be real.
I don't know. We'll have to look into that at a later date and not right now, Joe.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, we're still in the episode. Let's go. Okay. The ladies set up a roulette parlor in Versailles. Polnyak lets Marie win the first couple of rounds, but then starts running the table. The narrator that tells us that while gambling, Marie can forget about her lie and enjoy herself, which does seem to be the true thing that happens about people that are addicted to gambling. So this is a good job on the show for getting that right. Over time, Polnyak has caused Marie to lose a lot of money.
A lot. And then they translate to today's money in yen. In yen from the 70s.
I transcribed it to how much money that would be in USD today. At the Jarjay's Manor, Oscar looks out at the palace. Andre jokes that Marie is probably gambling right now, and Oscar hopes that Marie isn't addicted. But Andre is like, yeah, I mean, she's obviously addicted. She's already lost like a bunch of money. Oscar gets mad and kicks his chair out from under him and then rides off to the palace.
A lot of furniture being thrown around these episodes.
She just kicks his chair and he's like, come on. Although the thing Andre always does where like something's going bad and she's like, I hope things aren't going bad, and he's like, oh yeah, they're definitely going bad, is like very funny. Like, that's their dynamic. Polnyak and her collaborators think that they can now pay off their gambling debts and then have some even left over. She realizes that her life was miserable before she was trying to live as a virtuous lady. You can't survive by being good-natured. If you wish for something, you have to take it. That's what she learned. She's like, my husband's an idiot for being a nice guy. You need to be a scheming, conniving little devil. That's how you get stuff. And she probably isn't wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Right. Poor husband. We'll never see him, but he's just blaming him for everything.
Yeah. Just then, Oscar bursts in. She accuses Polnyak of getting Marie addicted to gambling and stealing money from her. she's like, you're going to come with me and confess your crimes. And Pontiac is like, oh yeah, if I did that, like, everyone's going to find out that Marie's just been gambling away huge sums of money. Who do you think's going to be, like, disgraced by that? You think it's really going to come back to me? But, like, it's mostly going to be her getting in trouble, you know? Don't you care about Marie's reputation, Oscar? And Oscar's like, damn, I didn't think about that. She's so bad at scheming. I thought she maybe Oscar to. Could scheme because she's now training an assassin, but she still doesn't have it.
No, well, it's because she's, for some reason, thinks positively of Marie Antoinette. Mm. And so she's not imagining the worst case scenario of how people feel about her.
A voiceover tells us that Marie's gambling's debt have run up to $500,000 livres, which is roughly equivalent to $64 million in today's money.
That is insane. How could she do that?
She's really bad at roulette.
She's stupid. She can't do math, probably. Oh my God.
Mercy explains this to her and says that she's being swindled by Pontiac. She calls Pontiac in, and Pontiac does a great sad sack, like, sob story about how everybody in court's scheming against her because she's a commoner. She's like, I've caused you so many problems, Marie. I'll withdraw from court tomorrow. And Marie, being easily manipulated, decides to protect Pontiac instead. So, way to get, like, totally rolled.
Ugh, a woman's tears. They work on everyone, not just men.
Mm.
God, don't leave her alone with her.
No, she can't be trusted to do anything alone.
No.
You need to have, like, Oscar on 24-hour bodyguard duty to be, like, right there.
Yes, for real.
Elsewhere, Andre and Oscar spar. Andre tells Oscar that he knows that she's conflicted, but she needs to be careful about how she, like, deals with stuff to protect Marie's reputation. Oscar doesn't say anything and just disarms Andre. We cut to Oscar appearing before Marie and Pontiac. Oscar makes a formal request to Marie, drawing her sword and everything, to please stop gambling. Marie is touched and tells her to sheath her sword because she's already decided to stop. And Pontiac's like, yup, we're done here. Everything works out. And then she drags Marie off. Marie's still out of sorts about lying about the pregnancy thing. And Pontiac tells her that there's an opportunity for them to get out of the lie right now. Marie's like, great, let's just do it. Pontiac gathers Marie's inner circle and tells him that the Marie has had a miscarriage. And it's because Oscar drew her sword in front of her. And everyone just believes this.
I just, like, there would be evidence. They would find blood. They would clean up and see that there wasn't any. It's.
Yeah. Oh, you think that people would try to verify this in any way?
Well, I would think that whatever maid was, like, doing her laundry or something would expect to see stained, you know, skirts or whatever from the miscarriage and, like, be expecting that. And then when they didn't see it, be suspicious.
Yeah, you'd think. We get a scene of Oscar walking around while everybody stares daggers at her for ruining the succession. Marie is distraught that Oscar is being dragged into this now, and Pontiac apologizes but says this was the only way. Marie cries as we cut to credits. Not as good when Marie cries. I don't care about that as much.
Well, because it's never for the important. It doesn't have the same weight as it does when Oscar does.
Yeah. When so Oscar what did you think? Cries.
Yeah, these are good episodes. I'm kind of at the point where it's like, I hope Oscar dies with the revolution and she's the one who beheads Marie Antoinette. That's so not happening, but I can help.
It like so feels like that's the way it's going, right?
Yes. Well, it's just like I feel like it's got to be that this Pontiac is just going to taint Marie so much that there's no reasoning with her, and then it'll just force Oscar's hand to side against her. They said this lady's going to be around for 10 years. That sounds like the time of which the revolution will be taking place.
Yeah, I'm very shocked that we're like 15 episodes in and we're already at Oscar being like, fuck the nobility.
Mm.
Yeah, it really seems like this is going to be a thing where like Oscar does want to do the revolution, but she still likes some of the people she personally knows.
Yeah. Well, I guess, right, it just takes some time for a few things to cultivate. Like, we saw Rosalie a lot, but, like, she played an incredibly minor role, but it seems like she's going to be coming up as, like, a primary character, Polly, once she's all settled. I don't know, is Oscar's dad saying anything like, who's this random chick in our house, or everyone's gonna be fine with it, or how I don't are we know. Gonna we haven't seen much her? Of that. Yeah.
You think her I'm mom's gonna like, be like, oh, it's the chick who tried to kill me.
Well, she seemed sympathetic to the girl.
Her mom is so chill.
Yeah. I think my biggest problem is I wish they would have discussed like why she isn't getting pregnant, or like, does she want, because like,
yeah, like has she tried?
She only cares about being, well, yeah, or like her thoughts on the matter of why she hasn't, or if she wants to.
Yeah.
We just see her being upset about people talking about her, but not being upset about why.
Yeah. No, you're right. That would have been better.
Yeah. It feels less. Well, like, because if she had strong feelings about it, then maybe that would make more sense as to why she was willing to, like, lie about it and stuff. If there was, like, a thing, like, she just really didn't want kids.
It seems like she just can't. I don't know.
She hates just not having sex, by her husband. Yes. Yeah. Yes. She's like, well, I wonder if the person was still around and she'd be like, hey, help a girl out.
I bet she could get pregnant with Fursten's baby. I bet that wouldn't be hard at all.
No. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I bet that could happen.
Yeah. But you said she has 4 kids at some point.
She does. Yeah. She has more kids later. Yeah. This apparently they're all
mysterious doorstep babies. This did the fake pregnancy and miscarriage happened? Is Polniak a person?
Maybe not. Maybe this is like a myth. I don't actually know. Oh, is Polniak a person? I believe so. Uh-huh. Let me make sure I spell the name correctly. Let me tell you. Mm. I normally don't. Yes.
Okay.
Was real.
Don't spoil anything for us. Okay. She has a long neck in the show. Incredibly long neck. Like a giraffe.
Do you want to see a portrait of her?
Sure. Right next to my portrait.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks
pretty good. It's a pretty good adaptation.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, okay. And here we just like out of nowhere comes like the big bad.
Like I love this. I love how both the big bad is just like some rando, and like she's not even that bad at the beginning. Like at the beginning, she's just like kind of a normal person that's just like, oh, like good things are happening to me now. But then she's realizing that
when you kill someone with your carriage, you might as well go all in after that.
Well, it's like, I love how she realizes over time that the way you get ahead in this society is by scheming. She didn't start out scheming. She just happened into this position. Like, as opposed to what, like, Dewberry or Jean is doing, who, like, start off, like, at the bottom. So they're like, I need to do this or, like, I'm dying. Polniak is like, I could not do this, but, like, it seems like it would work and it seems like I could pull it off. And then she does. And she's like, oh, okay, I could just pull this off. Like, this isn't even that hard.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone who meets Marie would dawn on them how, well, she can be so stubborn in certain ways. It's annoying that she's not more, she doesn't have more conviction with things other than just if you're a prostitute or not. That's the only thing we've seen her stand her ground on.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. Well, yes. God, when we do our character rankings, Marie Antoinette, dead last in my rankings. Characters. Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does not come across great. No. Oscar, I feel like I want to see her train Rosalie so bad. That is such a good subplot for Oscar.
We will see.
I love how Oscar is on board for this, even though she doesn't even know who it is. She's just like, oh, it's some noble. Yeah, you can get revenge, whatever. It could be somebody I know. I don't care. I think you should get it anyway. Just immediately on board. It's so good.
Yeah. Invite your attempted assassination of your mother girl into your home.
Yeah.
Don't be like, hey, mom, are you comfortable with this? I know she just tried to stab you. But let her
mom's
in.
So chill. Her mom's just like, yeah, it's fine. Like, whatever. Like, yeah, no, it's okay. No, I like to do. I want to do whatever makes you happy, honey. It's so funny. Her mom is so chill.
Yes.
Oh man, it's so good. Yeah, I like how Duke Guimena and Duke Orleans are just like so sidelined as villains now. They just like gossip. What? That's the most damage
they
can do now.
It's all the women. Women are the ones running the show here.
Yeah, it's because Louis doesn't do shit, and Marie's apparently in charge of everything, I guess.
Yeah, Madame Dewberry had to seduce her way. Marie is so easy, you just gotta, like, pay attention to her in the most minimal way, and that'll do it.
Yeah, I guess one thing we haven't gotten in terms of, like, the French Revolution really into at all, and it's kind of touched upon here for a moment, is when... Robespierre talks
the monk thing.
Yeah, when Robespierre talks about the clergy, because like the clergy, you know, is like the first estate or whatever, right? So they're like in charge of like education and like welfare and that kind of stuff. They are also being extremely opulent in like a similar way. So in his case, it's like someone like these like monks or something are trying to like seize peasant land or something like that. So that's also happening. I guess we haven't really touched on that. I wonder how much that's going to come up. I know that. Jean was scheming with that cardinal or whatever, so
this makes sense. When I hear monk, I just think of like a Buddhist monk.
Oh yeah,
monasteries and stuff is a whole thing.
Oh my god, the revenge plot's gonna be so good. I want to watch Rosalie kill a guy.
Well, you said the guy. She's got to kill this lady.
I want her to kill like a bunch of people. I want her to go on Bill style. Imagine, Kill Bill, but it's just Rosalie.
I don't know if she's gonna in like be the yellow good. Jumpsuit. We'll see. I guess she's determined. What happens? She's just like gets caught and she's fine dying, or does she have other hopes and dreams?
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of.
Yeah. I don't know what they're going to do.
Or she's going to be like Oscar's little apprentice or something. She'll be introduced to court.
Yeah. New question. How much do we like, how do you like the Oscar Andre relationship? Because I guess we get the part where he says he loves her and is mine. So I guess that seems to be one option for Oscar.
I feel like Oscar is just going to be platonic with everyone and not fall in love.
Mm. She's married to the job.
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like her, like, she can't be married to the job because, as her dad says, you can't think about people if you want this job.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I feel like Oscar, with, like, the weird gender dynamic, would feel, like, she would lose respect or something if she did something, like, marry a guy. Like, that would throw her whole persona. Yeah, that would be weird
career-wise.
Yeah. So I don't know. Or maybe she'll just have a side piece,
mm-hmm.
but not anyone of importance. And then Andre's going to be frustrated by it.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe Fersen will come back in 5 years. And
yeah, Fersen's hot.
Fersen is hot.
Yes. And then the guy Rosalie was talking to, he's a journalist, so I take it he'll be coming back into play.
Yes, I think he's
even though the narrator wasn't like, and this man will soon like she has with everyone else.
I don't know. I will say it's been fascinating, or like one thing that has set this show apart from the other shows we've watched so far to me, mm-hmm. is the number of subplots, like continuing subplots.
Yeah,
because there's a lot,
and like meaningful ones and not just like annoying one-off episode things, but
yeah, it's like you have the main thing because you have like whatever Marie's doing, and then there's whatever Oscar's doing, and then there's like all these side characters doing stuff, like what's Polignac doing, what's Jean doing, what's Rosalie doing, what's Duke Orleans doing, you know what I mean? Like there's so many like things happening all at the same time. I'm having a great time with that.
We know what King Louis is doing at all times. God,
he's always in his fucking forge.
Easy to keep track.
It's crazy.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's our coverage today.
Yep. Next time. What? 16,
17, 18? Yeah. So look forward to that. Hopefully, everyone, my mic sounds better this week, and this will be the quality you guys get to enjoy. Moving forward.
Yeah.
Watch me listen back and it's like all messed up and I'm gonna lose it. Oh god.
If you appreciate our efforts on this show, you should rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. While you're there, go ahead and leave a review. if you're able to on Apple Podcasts, you can do that. You can also leave comments on the Spotify ones. We appreciate it every time somebody does that. If you have a specific question that you want to ask, you can send it to our email address at shoujopod@gmail.com.
Or DM us on Instagram.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. What lesson of the day? If Carrie just seemed drawn to you, ask if anyone else in your life also has an issue with carriages.
I cannot. It was like, I know it's obviously like a bad thing when that happens, but it was so funny to be like the number of times that Rosalie almost got hit. We had like a Rosalie carriage counter, and then her mom gets actually killed by a carriage. It's just wild. This is why they invent sidewalks.
What was her mom doing out? Like, was she having an episode or something? It seemed strange that she was out and about.
It did seem kind of odd.
She wasn't dressed. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, we never knew what she was actually sick with, which I feel like maybe could have
explained. Yeah.
Because, like, it's obviously something you could take medicine for. And, like, she was sick for a long time. It's not like she had, like, smallpox, right? And she would have just been done. Yeah. So, I don't know. How are you? Do you ever find any parallels to this show to maybe our current reality? Because I have been finding those recently, and that's been weird.
Yes. Well, you likely are staying more informed than I am, but like even me and my under my rock is unable to avoid it. So yes, I do. I do see. I just can't articulate it. Or I don't have the confidence to speak on it because I just bits and pieces and not like continuously staying up to date. Okay. So what revolution coming?
Do you think the U.S. is going to collapse before we finish this show? Or do you think France is going to collapse in the show before that happens? Which one do we think is going to happen first?
Probably America, man. Because we're not even halfway through the show.
We got at least 10 more weeks or something, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not quite 10. We probably have like 8.
In that time.
8 weeks? I think we'll last 8 weeks. Who knows? Anything can happen.
We'll keep you posted.
Should we be speculating on what Oscar's fate's going to be? Like, what do you think is going to happen to her at the end?
Well, I think she becomes the, well, I hope she becomes the one who decapitates Marie Antoinette.
That would be so crazy. That would be awesome, but I don't think they're going to do that. My guess is that she'll be exiled. My guess is that they'll, because she's like part of the court or whatever, they'll like want to execute her, but then she's like helped out so many people that they'll lobby for her just to get exiled, and she like leaves France at the end.
With Andre at her side.
That's my guess.
It's a good guess. More likely.
I hope that's what happens because
I can dream.
Yours is so funny though.
Yeah. Well, we will see.
Yeah. Remember to don't get addicted to gambling. I read a whole book about this.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And don't get addicted to roulette specifically. You know how long it takes for them to spin that wheel? It's like so slow paced.
It was going.
I bet Marie would be good at poker. And on. She plays cards. I bet she would actually be good at that one. Like, that's what she does all day.
I don't think she would have a poker face.
Oh, that's true. She's too pure of heart.
Pure was heart as in she's true to herself. And herself being a selfish brat.
She should have been bored nowadays. She'd have been such a good streamer. You kidding me?
I don't know. That laugh is annoying as hell.
Dude, you think she could have, she could be like a VTuber. You think she could have like a little anime icon?
I feel like she could.
It's just her. And then she like turns it off and it's just her wearing the same outfit.
She's hot as hell. So
that's true.
Maybe she'd just be a fashion influencer. All
right, I'm
going to
search Twitch right now for Marie Antoinette and see if somebody is role playing as her. It's such a good bit.
Okay, well, how about you take on that?
Cosplay.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. You should do a stream where you're just dressed as Marie Antoinette. It doesn't seem like anyone's doing that, you know? She's in the public domain, right? Okay. You could just pretend. You could just role play. You could do a new stream where you just role play as Marie Antoinette.
Uh-huh. I guess we could, for the finale, maybe do a I could do a fun thing.
Yeah.
I just wear my hair crazy and laugh annoyingly and get swindled.
Yeah, you could play like poker game and just lose immediately.
And my mom could be a guest and just be like, "You're so stupid!" Like, just like her mom.
You're dressed like an actress. How dare you? You're supposed to be the queen of France.
Tiny kitten. Where's the tiny kitten?
We never see that kitten so again. Cute. No.
Tragic. No. It was so cute. The cutest cat in anime. Only like a few seconds. Cameo.
This is how you know she's becoming the Wicked Queen. It's because the cat's not there anymore.
No, what happened to it?
Dang.
Probably got out.
Knows anything.
Or she loses interest in things quickly.
All right. Well, don't get addicted to gambling. Don't play roulette. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
But do avenge your mom. Get a nice, if you're going to avenge your mom, get a nice dagger. Like, really spend the money on the dagger.
The money you don't have.
The money you don't have. I mean, she doesn't need it for the medicine anymore, right? So maybe she does have
it. No. Well, she didn't show up for her job. They're like, where'd she go?
I'm not endorsing that you shoot the CEO of a healthcare company in the street. But is that different?
No.
Maybe that masked man was actually Rosalie.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, buy a nice dagger. Yeah. Go out all out for the dagger. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you just walked like 100 miles because you just spent all day walking. But you got to make sure that dagger looks nice as you stab that person. Doesn't she say like eat this or something? Also, she's like, this is for killing my mommy.
I don't think she says eat this.
She says something that was like kind of goofy.
Oh, I didn't catch it. No. Well, because like,
if I can pull it out.
I guess I didn't think about, no. Okay, we're done. We're done here.
We're not going to keep, we, you don't want to keep riffing at the very end.
Well, I was just going to talk more about like,
I got it.
I guess when I was, okay, let's hear it.
She says, this is for my mother. Say your prayers.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, yeah. She's going to just wait till she does the actual deed. What kind of sweet line she's going to have then?
Oh, she needs to have like an opera related one or something. You think that would be good? Like, come up with a good pun if you're about to get your revenge.
Your,
you
know? Swan song.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yes. This is what I need from Rosalie. Oh, my God. I hope this happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to find out when we watch next time. Right. Till then. Thanks for listening. And have a nice day.
Bye.
I'm sorry.